Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 219 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and, wow, an incredible challenge. Ah, yeah, this is a teaser for a very powerful show coming up. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Now, here's your first official reminder to click onto iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We always love to hear from you. You know that. So your feedback is absolutely golden. So this is your first official reminder. I'll be telling you this at the end of our wonderful interview and our episode today. So get geared up now. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
As many of you know, I get a lot of my inspiration and marvelous guests from reading pretty unique and mind-blowing blogs, especially from the New York Times. And I did that just the other day when I read an author whose name is Josie Rubio. And Josie is a New York-based writer and editor with 20 years of experience in print and digital publications. Her works appeared all over the place. The Huffington Post and Refinery and New York Times and Addiction.com, and it goes on and on. Pretty amazing. And then she had a personal journey that took her on a completely different path. And when I read her blog about dating while dying, I'm sorry, that was a showstopper. And I knew I had to hope that I had the honor and opportunity of having Josie on the show to be able to tell us about her journey and to expound upon what's been going on in her life. What a story you're about ready to hear. Josie, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Josie, go for it. Just tell us what happened in your life.
Well, I've had cancer, two types of cancer on and off for about 6 years. I first had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I went into remission from that after a stem cell transplant. And then just maybe a year and a half after that, I was diagnosed with a second unrelated cancer called neuroendocrine tumors. It's what Steve Jobs and Aretha Franklin had. And after surgery and a few procedures, maybe a few years ago, they realized that it's metastatic and that I'm always going to be dealing with this cancer. So, you know, I've been kind of sick on and off. About the early part of 2008, I was really sick for a period of about 5 months. And right before I was going to start a new treatment, my boyfriend broke up with me.
Huh. So when he broke up with you, what was going on with that?
Well, he'll say I technically broke up with him. Things hadn't been going very well, but I was also kind of thinking that I was dying. And so he took a business trip and he reconnected with an old friend and they started writing each other letters, and it was pretty clear what was going on. And then he booked himself a solo trip to Europe. When I talked to him about it, he was very resistant, and I sent him this tearful, long email saying, you know, maybe we should break up, and he was like, all right. So then I overheard him on our cat camera. I have a camera that kind of checks in on the cats, and I tuned in, and he was on the phone, and I heard his his plans and how much he had enjoyed riding around with this woman on the back of her motorcycle and how it was a good thing that we'd broken up and he was tired of dealing with my cancer and he deserved this trip. And it was very eye-opening. And so we broke up, and it was kind of devastating because I found out that the person I'd been with for 12 years wasn't the person that I really thought I was with. And, I was still very sick, and I just, I didn't know what to do. Luckily, the treatment called PRRT, it's a newish treatment, kind of gave me a new lease on life just right after he broke up with me. So that was fortunate.
And you have a personal blog devoted to life with cancer, and it's uniquely called apaininthenek.com. Now, why did you call it that?
Actually, someone helped me with that name. It started because at the time I just had Hodgkin's lymphoma and I was just diagnosed, and it started with this bump in my chest and my neck, and so that's why it was called a pain in the neck, because that's how it started.
Oh my God. Okay. I was dying to know where that came from, to say the least. So, all right. Now that, you're feeling a little bit better, right? And that you've got this sort of chronic situation going on, you wanted to start again with dating. With online dating, but how is online dating different when you have this situation going on? How do people react? How do you approach that? This is just so absolutely unique. Walk us through this in your experience.
I kind of didn't want to online date or date at all. In my head, I was like, well, I have unlimited time. Why would I want to spend it meeting strangers and doing something? I mean, online dating is hard. So I didn't know if I wanted to spend my time, doing that. But friends really pushed me into it. And one of them signed me up for a dating app. And the other, who I call in my story, my dating app Sherpa, he really was a guide, and I don't think I could have done it without him. He just made things, he commiserated, he taught me his rules. So it was actually something that turned out to be fun, and I kind of approached it as something that was going to be fun and not so serious. I think because I really felt like I had a limited time, I didn't have a lot of pressure. I didn't have that, I need to meet, my soulmate. Or I was just like, I'm just going to, one of my friends was like, just think of it as just having, drinks with strangers, And so I kind of approached it that way. And I kind of was a little bit lighthearted about it from the get-go. And, my first line of, my dating profile, I think when I wrote it with my friend, was, I have cancer, so if you want to hang out, act now. I wanted to be upfront about it. Generally people were, pretty receptive. Sometimes they would ask about it in messages, or sometimes they would ask, on the first date or the second date, just a little bit more about, what it meant and what it meant for me. But as far as, dating with cancer, it wasn't as detrimental as I thought it would be. I think I was a little bit more, I was actually a little bit more scared about dating over 40, which I heard was really hard.
Really?
And I heard so many, yes.
That's funny.
And I heard so many horror stories from friends, and so I think, cancer maybe made my profile stick out a little bit more. It made me a little bit, it was almost a good thing, because it made me less serious about it. And I think it helped. And, I hadn't online dated before, so I didn't have anything to compare it to as far as like, maybe I'm not getting as many responses or anything like that. I actually had like a very good experience with everybody that I went on dates with.
Really? What was the the experience you had when you actually, you know, did put it out there. What kind of, you know, person-to-person, face-to-face kind of experience did you have?
I think the first guy I went out with, his ex-girlfriend had cancer, so he, you know, he was familiar with cancer. You know, a few people that I went on dates with, like, had experience with cancer, or they would ask, you know, what it means, because a lot of, you know, it's such a broad topic, and so many people have had experiences with cancer, or cancer survivors, you know. A lot of people just, you know, kind of responded and were curious and asked questions, and, you know, but always were, you know, very respectful and saying, you know, if you don't want to talk about this. But of course, you know, I was like, well, I need to. I was very upfront about it, and people were generally, you know, very kind and, you know, understanding about it as well.
What was the most surprising thing that happened in this whole, you know, online dating, you know, experience?
I think the most surprising thing was I ended up with a boyfriend. I didn't expect that. I had signed up for, you know, an app that wasn't super serious, and I really didn't. I went in with no expectations. I really did think, like, I'm just gonna, you know, have drinks with strangers, date, get kind of the bad taste of my bad relationship, you know, kind of out of my system. And just kind of have fun and, you know, talk to people and meet new people. And I guess that's when things happen when you're not looking. So I ended up with a boyfriend.
Wow. And how does that work when you just shared with us that the health prognosis is somewhat guarded, or maybe a lot guarded, given the fact that this has now become a chronic issue, and with apparently no cure? How does that affect the relationship?
You know, it's both good and bad. And my, you know, in my piece, I kind of say, like, I've never been so happy and so sad at the same time. It's good, and it's, you know, it's also can be really sad at times. But, you know, I think, you know, there's always the cliches, like, you know, treasuring moments and things like that. I mean, it definitely gives you less time to argue. I did get a few messages after, you know, my piece ran about people saying, like, I've decided to, you know, work on things with my, you know, significant other after reading your piece. And, so I do think it's, you know, if with a little bit of limited time, it's, you know, less time for, you know, nonsense. But, you know, like I said, it's also, it also can be a little bit sad, you know, but sometimes I think, you know, the past, I've started to get sick again recently. The prognosis isn't very great. I'm going to try one treatment, and it doesn't have a good good prognosis, but we'll see. But I mean, these past, you know, few months when I've been getting sicker and sicker could have been the worst time of my life, and instead it's been still part of, you know, I think this past year has weirdly, since the breakup, been like some of the best times of my life. So it's been good, strangely.
You know, so many people out there in the Her Podcast land may be listening to this saying, how in the hell do you wake up every morning? How do you, you know, face each day? Where do you derive your strength from, Josie?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's been hard without the hope of getting better. That's been tough, because there's always been kind of an, you know, a little bit of hope, like, this is gonna, you know, maybe I'll feel a little bit better. Even now, you know, I have like a 3% chance of feeling a little bit better. But you know, I've always tried to enjoy everything as much as I can. And now, even that I'm not feeling well, I've kind of resigned myself to this spot. Well, if I'm not going to feel any better, like, I need to enjoy as much time as I have, as much as I can now. So I'm still trying to do as much as I can. Sometimes people say it's a little too much. I try to do as much as I can. I try to enjoy everything. I'm actually having a party this weekend. A former neighbor of mine had something he called a living wake. And he had had a terminal diagnosis. And, you know, the thought was, I'm going to have this party and be there. So I'm kind of having an extreme going away party, which, you know, could be morbid, but I'm looking at it as, you know, a chance for people to say goodbye and you know, just kind of have fun and hang out with me. And the worst thing that could happen, I was talking to a friend, I was like, well, what if this treatment works and I'm, you know, I had this party? And she
well,
said,
I have another party. Well, have another party and celebrate. I mean, you know, I'm always looking for another excuse for a party. So you can't have too many parties in life, Josie, you know. I love that whole issue of the living wake. You know, one of the mm-hmm. things I have found in our society specifically, maybe other societies as well, is that, you know, we don't deal with the issue of death and dying well at all. We don't. I think that, you know, we live in a world of denial, looking the other way, not wanting to deal with it, etc. But it's an inherent piece of life. And to be able to openly talk about it and deal with it, manage it, is so terribly essential to how we approach our lives. And that's why one of the reasons why I wanted you on this, because, you know, here you are getting slammed not once but twice with cancer and facing a very, very guarded prognosis, and yet you're kind of doing your thing out there. You're living, you're thriving in a way that you have defined for yourself, which is what I kind of read in the New York Times piece that you wrote. And I just think it brings to mind what all of us really need to confront, which is an issue that is just integral to life itself, which is death and dying. I mean, it's so terribly important to start conversations like that and to be more comfortable with understanding that part of our own life journey. Because I got a newsflash for everybody, honey. You know, you're not avoiding this. It's going to happen to all of us. And however you are, whatever age you are, you know, there's no guarantee on anything. I don't care how old you are. So this is why listening to Josie is so terribly important, because she's living it right now. You know, she's living a guarded prognosis, and she's confronting these issues. And as she said, it's not easy at all, but she still continues to confront them. So, you know, that's such a gift to all of us who are listening to you, Josie. You know, just hearing you and hearing your words means so terribly much. Does that make sense, Josie?
I think so, yeah. Thank you for your kind words.
Well, you know, you were mentioning comments that you got from the mm-hmm. New York Times piece. What other comments did you get? I'm really curious to know.
I was surprised that I got so much feedback, you know, not only from Twitter, which they linked to, but a lot of people like looked at my email through my writing site, and I got so many nice comments, and you know, the people trying to work on their relationships, a lot of people who had cancer and were afraid to get back into dating, either, you know, who either had cancer and were dating, or people who had, you know, terminal illnesses or illnesses, disabilities, that were afraid to date, and a lot of people who, you know, were even in remission and were still afraid to date. I think that's something that's common, and I think, you know, I think also, you know, after being in a pretty bad relationship for a long time, I think, you know, just the chance to kind of get out there. And there's always going to be something that you're insecure about, I think. And, you know, before it was like, oh, you know, maybe I'm not pretty enough, or maybe, you know, this or that. And I think, you know, I think we all have our insecurities. And I think having a disability sometimes, or, you know, having a disease, you think, oh, who's going to want me? But, you know, I spent so much time in a bad relationship because I thought that. And I was really excited to hear people, you know, excited to get back out there, or excited to, you know, say, you know, I do have something to offer. You know, I'm a lot more than, you know, a disease or, you know, a disability. So I hope, I got the impression that, you know, the dating sites were going to be inundated with more people. I hope.
Oh my gosh, you've opened the door, you know, and a little tsunami of people have run through. Well, you know, but think about it. You inspired them. You said, hey, you know, I'm going to put it out there. Let's see what happens. And what do you think is the greatest fear of so many people who don't want to get back in, or are afraid to get back into online dating? You know, who have had it, either currently or otherwise?
I think it's online dating. I think online dating is the hardest part. I think it's hard for everybody, and I think it's daunting. And I think I think it's an easy excuse. I think a lot of people, you know, even before I, you know, had cancer, I think I would have come up with an excuse, you know, like, I can't online date because of this. I can't date because of that. And I think, you know, having a health issue kind of gives you, lets you off the hook a little bit. And, you know, and a few people have said, like, oh, why are you doing this now? And, you know, it doesn't mean that I, you know, still don't want, you know, to go out and, you know, have a good time and have people tell me I look nice, or, you know. So I think, you know, I think when you are sick, you just worry that, you know, people are going to reject you. But I think you always worry that people are going to reject you no matter what. So I don't know.
Interesting. What is your greatest support system right now?
Definitely, you know, my friends and my mom and my boyfriend are, you know, everybody's been so supportive and just been there for me from, you know, from the get-go. I don't know what I would do without everybody. So.
Uh-huh. And has your medical team been helpful at all, or do you find them to be, you know, a good support system for you, or are they mostly technical?
They've been very supportive. You know, I'm at Sloan Kettering, and they've always been just excellent. And, you know, sometimes I'll, you know, email the nurse, or my doctor, and with questions, and they've always been, you know, very kind and responsive, and, you know, and, you know, offered hugs sometimes when I needed them. And, you know, they're very understanding and clear on my wishes. And they've, you know, they've really kind of gone above and beyond, you know, always. And the hospital staff is always great. So I always feel like I'm in extremely good hands.
So, you know, what would you say to people out there right now who are trying to navigate this whole thing, you know, for themselves, that they themselves, you know, let's just say they've just finished, you know, their therapy for some form of cancer, and then they're trying to get back out there. What words of wisdom do you have to help them feel as though, feel less fear, basically, feel less fear? What would you tell them?
It's hard. After cancer really changes you in these profound ways that you don't even realize. And I've talked to people after cancer, and I experienced this after my remission, my initial remission. You're a little bit, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're waiting for the cancer to come back. You're waiting for some bad news. And it really kind of, and a lot of experiences, at least with me and with other people, you kind of get a little afraid to plan or to enjoy your life. And, you know, speaking as somebody who had cancer come back, and it was a different cancer, and have a bad prognosis. You know, I always tell people, you know, do it now, do what you want now, and don't put things off, because, you know, none of us know how much time we have, and you know, if it's better, you know, to do what you want. I just feel like I feel like I kind of regretted, or I would regret, letting fear kind of guide me. And if I hadn't online dated, I think I would have essentially regretted it. It was something that I wouldn't have done. And I think, you know, sometimes you do have to do, it sounds like a cliche, but sometimes you have to do the things that scare you.
Well, and, you know, I absolutely love that. Well, I think one of the biggest, you know, messages I just heard from you is don't let fear drive this. Don't let fear drive this, mm-hmm. whatever. Just don't. And instead, just get on out there and, you know, honestly, what can you say? Be authentic and see where the adventure takes you. Josie, I just want you to know from our team here at the Her Podcast, we're thinking about you. We're honored that you were on the show with us, and we're just absolutely blown away by your messaging and the gift that you've given everyone through your words, through your authenticity, through your being so genuine. It's really truly a gift to everyone, and opening up the conversation about death and dying. Opening up the conversation about living while dying, dating while dying. It's an extraordinary discussion, and I feel so terribly honored that you are on the Her Podcast with me.
Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. And keep writing about it, please. I'm going to read your blog. Everyone, if you want to read this blog, it's fabulous. It's called apaininthenec.com by Josie Rubio, who has been our wonderful guest. And right now, I know that you really, really see how powerful this discussion has been. So please, everyone, run on out to iTunes right now. Click on that sucker. Rate and review the show, because we want to hear from you. This has been an amazing time talking to Josie Rubio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode, including this very powerful one, of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and please stay well.